Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly. I thought we would carry this over for another segment, give you a chance at 803-0930, star 930. So we've talked Hallmark, we've talked Lifetime, GAC. Ladies, I'd like to talk feature films and TV specials. So every day I have to write, you know, I write my topics up and I send them to Tim. And in this, I said feature films like, you know, A Christmas Story on TBS, Freeform's 25 Days of Christmas. But also, back in the day, Nickelodeon used to carry something called Nick at Night.
Yes.
And Nick at Night would carry 70s sitcoms. And it seems like every 70s sitcom has a Christmas special. We don't do that anymore. Like, there's no... The last Christmas special I can think of is Festivus, and that's a Seinfeld show.
I'm gonna air my grievances.
Yes, yes, which we're 2 days away from airing grievances. So when I say Christmas TV, I mean I want to incorporate all of that. The sitcom specials, the feature films. And you wanted to kick things off with Frosty. Now, I got to give my opinion on Frosty first, Gina.
Okay.
And I said this last week when Brian and I talked about it. I think Frosty is highly overrated.
I agree.
And I don't think it's a Christmas show.
I cried for days.
Aww.
Every year as a child after watching Frosty because that greenhouse, I hate to say a spoiler alert, but if the kids are in the room, get them out. Because when you walk in that greenhouse and there's the little girl kneeling and sobbing and there's just the top hat, the carrot nose, and just a puddle of water for days.
But
I cried. It was horrifying, horrifying for a child to watch.
But then Frosty returns. It comes on right after it.
He does, but it still doesn't undo the damage.
Yeah, I love Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I think that's a special that will go on for all time. I'd be fine if Frosty doesn't stay. Like, I'd be fine if CBS decides to just show Frosty. Or just show Rudolph.
Gina and I have a friend named Michael. And he has a friend, and he was telling his friend that Rudolph was on that night. And she said, oh, I've seen it before. So she didn't have to watch it again.
I feel bad for her.
I know. It's no way to live.
Joe gets it.
Rudolph was on last night. Was on Freeform last night. But so was It's a Wonderful Life. Now, talking about a Christmas tradition. Christmas Eve every year, NBC shows It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
Now that Universal owns, you know, half the cable stations, it was on E! Last night. But I think that NBC showing on Christmas Eve, 8 o'clock, is such a traditional thing now. It's like... Again, back when network TV was everything, but it's still like one thing that they stay true to. I mean, they did get rid of the dog show. It's now on FS1, so they got rid of their Thanksgiving tradition. But they have It's a Wonderful Life. Where does It's a Wonderful Life rank with you two on feature films?
Well, you already know. Number one for me.
I'm going to say possibly number two.
It's like 10th for me.
Maybe 3. Really?
Yeah. Now, I love the meaning of it. I love, you know, everything at the end. Nothing changes, but he recognizes what he has.
Yep.
And the bell rings. I love it. Number 10. Like, I the ones I grew up with, I don't think I watched It's a Wonderful Life for the first time until I was like 16. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think I watched it as a kid.
Oh,
If it's all the way down there, what beats It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah, I would like to know, too.
Is White Christmas on that list?
White Christmas is probably like top 15.
Top 15.
I like it.
Ooh.
I like it. Now, you have one on my top 10, but you don't have the right version. Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, you like the newer version?
But I like the newer one with the guy from The Practice.
That's an excellent remake.
The guy from The Practice and the guy that played the prosecutor. The guy that played the woman that played the prosecutor on the O.J. Simpson special on FX. That's the version I'm talking about. That is probably number 9. We're going to work our way up on my
list. Okay, okay.
So I'm going to give my top 10, and then you guys give your top 10. How's that?
I wish I had known beforehand.
I wasn't prepared for that.
I'll give my
you don't
top
have to
couple.
Give your top 10. Yeah, yeah, okay, your top.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
okay.
I'm going to give mine, and you comment where, if that lands on your list.
Okay, okay, yeah.
So, Miracle on 34th Street, A Christmas Story, my wife loves it.
Love it.
I can't stand it.
Love it.
It's not even in my top 10.
Do you know that my friend Janine went to the house a couple Christmases ago?
No kidding.
The one in Cleveland. Yeah, that's how much she loves
I've
it.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
I've never seen it.
What?
I've never seen it.
You're not missing much.
One of my sister's favorites. I've never seen it.
Is there a reason why?
I just haven't gotten around to watching it. I got the Hallmark's on.
Okay, fair enough. Fair. Okay.
So that's number 9 on my list.
Okay.
Now, number 8 on my list, and this isn't any offense to it. I like it, but it's number 8, and that would be Jim Carrey's The Grinch.
I wouldn't put that as high on my list, but I think that is a very well done movie.
Yeah, I think definitely.
I like it.
That deserves number eight. Number seven, we've talked about it already. Love Actually.
Love it.
Now I know I'm going to get a lot of comments on the text board, but I love that movie. I think it's one of those love hate movies.
Oh, who can hate it?
For me, it's definitely my top 10. Not for you.
Hate.
Why? Really?
I'm in the hate column.
Why is that?
I just think it's so...
Do you have something against the British?
It's so self-gratuitous. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. No, I love the British.
Do you have something
British.
Against
I
the UK?
I watch every episode of Downton Abbey. No, it's just, it doesn't, no.
But it's even got the guy that you like, the British actor whose name
I love
I'm forgetting.
Hugh Grant, yeah.
No, the Colin other guy Firth. Too.
I love them all, but I just don't care for the movie.
Number seven, Fred Claus.
Oh, I would not even put that in my top 25.
Oh,
really? I think
on.
That's a generation thing. I think that
Ludacris is in that movie.
Luda.
So Fred Claus, number six on my list. I got to make sure I got this right because, of course, my phone battery died, so I don't have my list with me.
Oh, no.
But number six on my list, if we went from Fred Claus, then we go to Christmas with the Cranks, Tim Allen, Jamie Lee Curtis.
I've never seen that movie.
Love
Great
it.
Great movie.
Is it?
Definitely.
John Grisham, Skipping Christmas.
Oh.
That's what it is. And the book is just as good as the movie.
So it's based on a book?
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
And then my top five is going to be very funny because it's got a very similar theme. Number five, The Santa Claus 2. Okay?
Oh. Not the original?
No, well, that would be up more.
Okay, okay.
Number four, Elf. Number three, The Santa Claus. Number two, Home Alone 2, which means number one, Home Alone.
Home Alone.
And of course, you saw the article about how they're the top 1%, right? In Home Alone. They, I think it was the New York Times, tried to figure out how rich his family was, that they could fly 15 people to Paris.
Leave it up to the New York.
It's brilliant.
Leave it up to the New York Times.
Yeah. Well, that's where I read it. I don't know who actually did the study. And they said that they were the top 1%, and they'd have to be earning more than $730,000 a year, I think.
I'd like to know how much Uncle Frank was making, because he was the one taking the free trip. But I think Home Alone is the classic, I'm going to say it, the classic of my generation.
Yeah.
That is the Christmas classic. Elf is there.
Yep.
Elf is there.
Elf
is a classic.
Elf.
Yep.
I mean, every year at the Turkey Trot, I see multiple people dressed up as Elf. Elf is a classic. It's there. I'm sorry, nothing beats Home Alone. And really, when it comes to Christmas movies, nothing beats Home Alone 2. Now, if you've heard my commentary, do I have my problems with New York City? Yes. We'll leave that for another show. I love New York City at Christmas time. And I think Home Alone 2 does a good job throughout the movie to illustrate the high points of New York City at Christmas time. I think it's a perfect sequel to Home Alone 1. They didn't take a cheap way out, right? They made it. Home Alone 2 could stand by itself. And I think that it's not the best sequel, because I think the best sequel is Back to the Future 2.
Yes.
And the worst sequel is Back to the Future 3.
Yes.
But
are we talking about The Godfather? Or
The Godfather's
Back
2.
Back to the Future.
Again, 2 and 3 of The Godfather, the same as Back to the Future. But I think Home Alone 1 and 2, I can watch that movie every day of the week, every year for the rest of my life and not get bored of it.
Wow.
Where is Christmas Vacation on your list?
Christmas Vacation should be in my top 10.
Yes.
But it's probably tied somewhere in there. I love Christmas Vacation. I watch it multiple times the holiday season on AMC.
Yep.
But if anything, it would kick out Love Actually. But I would put Christmas Vacation tied for 10th, maybe. Again, I love it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm ranking movies that, if you noticed, all of them came out when I was alive. And I think, again, looking back at a classic. Now, with all that said, this is the point I wanted to make, and I want to see if anyone agrees with this. Any movie after 2010, I think, sucks when it comes to Christmas movies. I don't think in 20 years you're going to be looking at a Home Alone-type classic from the last decade. I don't think they're making movies like they used to. And I don't see any Christmas movie that came out in the last decade as a movie that 20 years from now, you're gonna have, you know, kids of this generation going, can't wait to watch such and such. The new Grinch that came out right before the pandemic sucked. I bought it for my wife as a gift, didn't even finish it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was awful. And I love the story of the Grinch. I love the original cartoon of the Grinch.
Yep.
I don't think anything that's come out lately warrants... Again, Four Christmases, and I think the only reason I like the movie Four Christmases is because Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon hated each other while they were filming it. So that makes it kind of fun to watch.
Oh. This is a hot take that I can ascribe to. I agree with you. I don't think there's been, since Love Actually, I don't think there has been a really great Christmas movie.
And I don't feel I'm that kind of person that says that about a lot of things, right? I still appreciate some current music. Now, I'm not listening as much as I used to, but I still appreciate some current music. I'm not the kind of person to say 20 years from now, no one's going to be looking at someone as they do Kiss, right? But with movies, I just don't see it. I have not seen, and I like to think I'm up on current movies. Maybe Christmas Chronicles will prove me wrong, but beside Christmas Chronicles, I can't think of a movie in the last decade that anyone's going to be watching like Home Alone 20 years from now.
I agree.
I think that there are a couple great, on my list would be almost any version of A Christmas Carol, particularly George C. Scott. And I like Kelsey Grammer's version, and of course, Bill Murray is number one with Scrooge. But I think there have been some decent remakes of A Christmas Carol.
The Muppets.
I do.
But that wasn't within the past 10 years.
Not one of the ones on my list, but some fairly recent Christmas carols that are pretty good.
And again, this is a good chance for the listeners. If you think there's a movie that's an instant classic that maybe I haven't seen.
Me too.
Let me know, because I will go home and watch it. The closest thing is Christmas Chronicles, and I just don't think it has the lasting power that Home Alone has. I could be proven wrong. Hopefully, I'm still on the radio in 20 years. Hopefully, I'm not fired. If so, in 20 years, we'll come back and we'll see if I was right or wrong. Gina and Bethany are here for just a few more minutes, and ladies, I want your top picks. You can give me anywhere from your top three, top two to top 10 feature films, and we'll start, Gina, with you.
Christmas Carol, I love. It's a Wonderful Life. White Christmas is my number one. For more current, I like The Preacher's Wife with Denzel Washington and Whitney Houston. Yeah. I really like that movie.
It's a good movie.
Good one. Okay. So I love Christmas Eve on Sesame Street.
Ah.
I've been watching that one since I was little. That's a tradition. Love Actually, Rudolph, Holiday Inn, The Muppets Christmas. Have you guys ever heard of this movie?
Yes.
I loved it as a kid because it brought together Sesame Street, The Muppets, and The Fraggles.
Is that the one that John Denver's in?
No, I don't think he is.
No, John Denver's on the soundtrack, I'm thinking, yes.
I don't know how we haven't talked about A Charlie Brown Christmas yet, because that should be on everybody's list.
Absolutely hate, but that's...
No way!
I know, Sandy Beach and I got in this conversation every year. I am not a fan of Charlie Brown or Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh,
it's just,
man.
It's just over my head, I'm sorry.
You're like our coworker Jen, who doesn't like Charlie Brown. Little Shop on the Corner, White Christmas. I think that's my...
Very nice list. All right, ladies, let me ask you. We've got 4 days left before Christmas. What is in your next 4 days? What's your Christmas traditions? We talked about this yesterday.
Our Christmas is my dad's birthday, December 23rd, at my house. So that's my next 2 days.
So that's your Bill's party, the 23rd?
That's the Bill. It's turning into a Bill's party, yes.
Bethany, what's your Christmas traditions?
Going over to Gina's house for the party.
There it is.
And also, you know, I go to Mass with my dad and go over to my brother and sister's houses.
Now, let me ask you, Christmas dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Is Christmas dinner like Thanksgiving dinner for you?
It depends on the year. This year, we're having a very casual, everybody's coming in their pajamas, we're watching movies and playing games, and it's chilly.
All right. Bethany?
My sister's chili.
I'm going to be making Christmas lasagna.
Oh, so, very nice.
Nice and easy.
At the Beamer house, we have a tradition that started like 7 or 8 years ago. We have Chinese food on Christmas. We get it delivered, and that is that's our Christmas dinner. We go there in the afternoon. My wife and I have a tradition that obviously we didn't do last year, but after going to my in-laws in the morning, we stop at Starbucks. I think this year I'll be getting an iced coffee because it'll be 53.
Yes.
And then heading to my parents for gifts over there. So that is that's what we're... All right. Final question. Bills Chargers. What's happening on Saturday?
Oh, Bills for sure.
All right.
Bills are winning.
Yeah, the Bills. Go team.
I just hope that they... I don't know. I have a feeling Tanner said it best yesterday. They played down to their competition. And I'm worried they might do that with... What's their backup quarterback's name now that's playing?
Easton Stick out of North Dakota State University.
Easton Stick. For some reason, they're going to make him look like Tom Brady, like they did with Mac Jones a few weeks ago in New England. So that's my fear, but hopefully they'll win. All right, ladies, thank you. We'll have to make this a tradition. This is a tradition every year. I'll have to watch some of the newer Hallmark movies, though, because I'm too stuck in the old ones. But we'll do this again next year. It was great having you in. Have a great holiday. We'll hear from one of you tomorrow, right?
Bethany.
I'll be here.
Bethany, you'll be here tomorrow?
Yes, with UConn Cornelius, the dog. The puppy.
UConn Cornelius tomorrow, 8:50 with Susan Rose. Don't miss that. I'll be back. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about that Bills game and something else. It's Beamer and for Bowerly on WBEN. In for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Great to be with you. My thanks to Gina and Bethany for joining me today. That was fun going through what to watch on TV, the Hallmark Marathon that I really think, you know, kicked off something with The Imitations and just the other cable channels. I talked about this yesterday that, you know, have feature film marathons. So I thank them. That was a lot of fun. 803-0930, star 930. Anything we've talked about today, please jump on. Now, this is in the news, and it's been in the news, and I would be really interested if someone out there has been using this and wants to call and comment on their experience. So we have heard of Ozempic and the use and the success people are having using Ozempic to control their appetite, and it's helping with weight loss. However, there are people saying that you can also overdose. I'm not saying that. It's true. You can overdose on Ozempic. There were nearly 3,000 calls to poison control centers between January and November from Ozempic. Now, that's the one side effect. Again, I think Ozempic is great for people who are looking to lose weight and have tried everything, right? Don't get me wrong. I am pro. If that's available to you to lose weight, great. I do think there's something negative about it as well, though, because now every time you see someone lose weight, you automatically think, oh, they did Ozempic. Oh, they must have done Ozempic. And like, hey, to the people who were able to use Ozempic and were successful and were able to lose the weight they wanted and keep it off, great. Again, I want to hear those experiences, the 803-0930, star 930. And once you drop the weight, what's the plan? Do you stay on Ozempic? If you're using Ozempic for weight loss, I really would be interested if someone out there has been using Ozempic for weight loss. You know, I want to know about your insurance. Did it cover it fully? You know, the success that you're seeing, and what is the plan? Is the plan to jab Ozempic every day? Is there a gradual plan? What is the plan once you are off Ozempic? 803-0930, star 930. And also, how about those of you that are losing weight and haven't used Ozempic? Does it bother you when people say, oh, you must be using Ozempic? Again, not that there's anything wrong with using Ozempic. I think if you're looking to lose weight, anything that you can do that's, you know, approved by your doctor, I think go for it, right? I mean, obviously, we all want to be healthy. That's why the number one New Year's resolution is to lose weight, right? So this is not an anti-Ozempic, but, I mean, we just, Tanner just played Kelly Clarkson coming back, right? And what's the first thing people said when Kelly Clarkson impressively lost weight? Was, oh, she must have been using Ozempic. Now, I believe Kelly Clarkson said she was not using Ozempic. But it's the first thing that people went to was, oh, she must have been using Ozempic. And I think now anytime you see someone that's dropped weight, again, there's nothing wrong with that. But to say, oh, that's the first thing. Oh, it must be Ozempic. And again, not everyone can get Ozempic. Not everyone's insurance is going to cover Ozempic for weight loss. You know what I mean? If I'm reading things correctly, it has been turned down if it's for weight loss and not for, I believe, Ozempic's original use is for diabetes. So 803-0930, star 930. I'd be interested to hear about your experience with Ozempic. I believe Ozempic's a shot, right? That's a shot you take? That's what I meant, texter. I think Ozempic's a shot. If I'm wrong, let me know. So 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show, your experience with Ozempic. Or have you lost weight and not used Ozempic? Does it annoy you if someone says, oh, you must have lost weight with Ozempic? These are the questions that go through my mind. 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get on. You can also comment on anything else that we have talked about throughout the day. It's been a really A fine time spending this week with you here in for Tom Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Someone says, I was on Ozempic because my A1C was a little high and I was overweight. However, midway through the treatment, my insurance stopped covering it, so I had to go off it. Now, were you able to continue? So I'm guessing if it was midway through the treatment, you had lost weight. You were on it for A1C and was overweight. What was that? Were you able to go to like a different type of the same thing, or did your insurance completely take you off that medication? I'd be interested in that answer. Mark in Buffalo. Mark, your thoughts on Ozempic?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Good. I have a serious problem with people using it who don't need it just for weight loss. For example, diabetic and keep her A1C.
Mark, you got to give us a call back, man. Your connection was in and out. So, Mark in Buffalo, please give us a call back. Your phone was just going in and out. 803-0930, *930. So the texter, someone else says, I was taking something similar for my diabetes, and there was a 5-month span I could not get my medication because it was sold out everywhere. That does seem to be a complaint. I think that's what Mark was getting to, Mark in Buffalo. People using it for weight loss, and now it's difficult to keep in stock for those that are on it for diabetes. But I'm interested in your experience with it, 803-0930, *930, or your experience with weight loss altogether. Maybe it's not Ozempic related, but maybe you went through a time and you lost weight. And, you know, again, as someone who lost a lot of weight and unfortunately has put a lot of it back on, I can tell you it's difficult. I mean, and there are days where it is just difficult to stick to any diet. You know what I mean? Like it is. I mean, there are days I remember, you know, I was like, okay, I got to keep my calories here. And then I'd walk into work and there's pizza, or I go home and there's something, you know, delicious in the refrigerator. It's not easy. You know, I mean, losing weight is difficult. I mean, it's frustrating because you have this goal in mind and, you know, you do a week of eating well and working out and sticking to all your goals. And it's like, wow, I've got, you know, 6 months to go to get anywhere close to what my goal is. Believe me, I know how difficult it is. Mark in Buffalo has called us back. Mark, sorry about that. Your connection was all over the place.
Not a problem. Okay. My problem is that my wife's diabetic and she needs the Ozempic to keep her A1C down. She's not overweight, but she's lost like a few pounds, but she's not overweight. She needs it because of her diabetes to keep her A1C down. And with, you know, there's a shortage of it. And with a lot of people using it for reasons they don't need it, really, that's a problem. Now, also, Trulicity is a similar medication, and they're marketing that as a weight loss. So that's my problem. You know, I mean, people can lose weight a number of different ways with other medications or just willpower or whatever. I mean, I lost 35 pounds just by watching what I eat. I don't eliminate pizza or pasta. I just, you know, eat them like every few months, not at the same time. So it can be done. If you really want to lose weight, but you know you're hurting people who really need this medication, and it's not cheap.
Yeah. So your problem is that the stock is not there for people that don't have diabetes to use Ozempic at this time.
Exactly.
Yeah, Mark. I've heard that complaint from a few people. I appreciate the call and thanks for calling back in, Mark in Buffalo. Also, a texter who's saying that there was a shortage in medication for 5 months that they could not get their diabetes medication, and that has been a complaint of people. Again, I know there are people who are very much overweight, even obese, and you know they need something to lose weight, and you know doctors will say get Ozempic, and there are I believe some insurance that will cover Ozempic for weight loss, but it is a stock issue, right? And it is a supply chain issue. I don't know. I mean, I'm not the medical expert here, but I would say if we're gonna say who gets it first. I mean, it is originally for diabetes. Do you put the people who are diabetic, do you put them ahead of those who are taking it purely for weight loss? I would think a majority of people would agree with Mark and with the texter. Hey, all right, yes, you can use it for that. You've gotten approved for that. but make sure diabetics have their medication. I think that's what people are going to say. But those of you who have taken it for weight loss, what pushed you to start Ozempic? Was it a doctor recommendation? Was it, hey, I've tried everything and this is what's left? And, you know, you see people that are having great results, right? I mean, you know me. I look at the New York Post every day for topics. I mean, that is my topic paper, is the New York Post. And there is an Ozempic article in there almost every other day about, you know, people are eating less because of Ozempic, and it's going to, you know, there's certain companies that have lowered their expected income and the expected money brought in because people are buying less food because of the number of people on Ozempic to control their weight. So I'd be interested in hearing all sides of this argument at 803-0930, star 930. But it's something that's in the news, and it's something that I would really be I'd really be interested in, again, hearing from someone who takes it for weight loss, you know, just the timeline of how that played out. Someone says they take something similar to Ozempic for diabetes. It costs almost $250 a dose. They take it for diabetes, but it does suppress their appetite and lost 10 pounds without trying. So, you know, got the double effect, obviously, taking it for diabetes, but also losing 10 pounds while on that medication. 803-0930, star 930. That topic is open to you. And then I had to bring this up because Tom keeps bringing it up in his news. I know he'll talk about it at 6. But Peacock is going commercial-free for the fourth quarter of the Bills game on Saturday. Again, Saturday night, 8 o'clock. If you don't have Peacock locally, it'll be on Channel 2. This is going to sound, again, the NFL has its problems, don't get me wrong. But they're going to go commercial-free for the fourth quarter. Is that really going to enhance the broadcast? Because I think, as it stands right now, the NFL is the closest thing to a perfect broadcast on television. And I'm not sure 12 more minutes of Jason Garrett or Chris Collinsworth is going to make the production, make the game any better. You know what I mean? Like, no offense to Jason Garrett or Chris Collinsworth or anyone on the broadcast crew. But, you know, after a punt and you get a 3-minute timeout, we're used to commercials there, right? That's when, you know, you go, you get a beer, you go get some food. I just don't feel like that's going to enhance the broadcast. I really think we have done everything to enhance the broadcast. I mean, until we can make it look like you're at the game while watching it on TV, I'm not really sure what else we can do. To me, this is just a loss of revenue for, in my opinion, no reason. I just don't think going commercial-free for a quarter is going to enhance the game. If I'm wrong, I'll tell you on Monday or on Tuesday. I'm not scared to tell you. I'm not scared to admit that I'm wrong. I don't know what else you could do to enhance the broadcast. It seems like every year they're trying something. Now, do I like when they're at commercial, like a short break, and they have what's going on in the field and a small screen on top? Yeah, that's interesting. You got the flyover, the sky cam. That's interesting. I like that. But I don't know if commercial-free fourth quarter is really adding anything. Again, we'll see on Saturday, and if I'm wrong, I will admit it the day after Christmas here on WBEN. But remember, they've done this before. They've played with broadcast before. They did, and I think this is before my time, or, you know, in the early 90s, they did a broadcast with no commentators. Now, I could tell you right now that would suck. And I'm usually one to, you know, I'll have the guys on GR, I'll have GR on over the broadcast. But to broadcast a game with no commentators at all, I don't know who thought that was going to work. And again, yeah, I'm talking to my friends and, you know, talking to family while you're watching the game. But I don't know. Just crowd noise doesn't seem appealing to me. 803-0930, star 930. If you want to talk Ozempic, or are you looking forward to the commercial-free fourth quarter? I don't get that as an enhancement of the broadcast, but I could be wrong. Yes, I think you're going to see that last-minute shopping. And I think some people, I know a lot of people don't like to drive once it gets dark, but I think you also have a lot of people that, hey, we packed the car up, we're leaving at 6. right? You're not going to have as much traffic as you will tomorrow or Saturday. And maybe you can get 4 or 5 hours out of the way tonight, stay in a nice hotel, and finish the trip tomorrow. I think you're going to see that throughout tonight and tomorrow night. Again, I think today, tomorrow, Saturday, your big travel days. Christmas Eve, I want to say most people are probably in place by noon, right? Like, there's not much travel. That's something I want to get into tomorrow. Airports around the holiday time, do you dread them? Or is it like shopping at the holiday time? Do you like that festive feeling? Like, we're crammed in the airport with a bunch of people. It's the holiday. You got the Christmas music playing. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say there. Also, I wanted to get to this today. We just did not have time. 53 on Christmas. Now they're saying 55 on Christmas Day. Does that change the way you approach anything on Christmas? Like, maybe something's getting grilled now on Christmas because it's 55. I don't know. Maybe it's really stupid and no one will want to comment on that and I'll move on. I hear 55. I want to get the grill going. Right? Like, I want to get things going and I want to be outside when it's 55. Like, I heard David today say something about 52 being cold. I think if it's above 50 in Buffalo, get the shorts, get the hoodie. We're gonna enjoy warm Christmas. I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority there. We'll have to see. 803-0930, star 930 will be the number to join me tomorrow. I want to get into that. I want to talk about holiday travel. If you are holiday traveling right now, remember everything you're doing and make sure you go on the Odyssey app and listen tomorrow because I want to hear about your holiday travel tomorrow here. Well, also, since I'm not going to be on the air on Festivus, we're going to air grievances tomorrow. It's Festivus on Saturday. We'll do that. We'll play some clips from one of the most memorable Seinfeld episodes. So I'm looking forward. Hey, I know a lot of you probably weren't working today, probably aren't working tomorrow, or maybe, half day here and there. Hopefully, whatever you're doing, you make us a part of your day. We know you do each and every day, and we are so thankful for that. I am so thankful for you listening today. I really hope you enjoyed the program. My thanks to Pasquale, Majori, who came in, Jimmy Stagliano, who stayed behind a little bit and talked with us, Max Ferry, Tom Puckett, Dick Bowerly, who all talked about the experience a year ago tomorrow. Also, thanks to Gina and Bethany from the SPCA for talking Hallmark movies and Christmas TV, traditional Christmas TV. Had a lot of fun with them. Hope you enjoyed it as well. And maybe, we're getting a lot of texts now on the Ozempic thing. Maybe we'll bring that back tomorrow as well, starting at 2 o'clock as I continue to fill in for Tom Bowerly. Again, my thanks to you for listening, this great WBEN audience. I really, really appreciate your ears, and hopefully you'll join me tomorrow, starting at 2, here on News Radio 930 WBEN.